The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Follow us on Twitter at LA News Guy. That's twitter.com/LA News Guy. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Fred Whitaker is the chairman of the Orange County Republican Party, and he is joining us to talk about the election cycle in light of all that has been going on. Fred, how are you doing?
Oh, Larry, we're actually doing really well despite the circumstances. You can go back to the early part of March, and our results in the primary in Orange County were very encouraging. The Republican vote was over 50% in both Congressional District 58 and Congressional District 39. Our candidates are well ahead of their Democratic opponents. You look at the Assembly District 68, Republican vote was well ahead of 50%. Some of these races the Democrats think that they have or that think they can win in the challenge, they're just not going to. And that whole primary election where we had great results here in Orange County, we also had good results in other places in the state. You know, I think one thing that was indicative is that all bonds across the state failed and all the bonds in Orange County failed. So that means people are tired of taxation. Now you roll that forward to the time under COVID, and you can't really do your traditional campaigning, but with peer-to-peer texting and our volunteers calling, because we've been able to download this app to their computers or their phones, they've been calling from home, and people were home, and they were actually picking up the phone. And so if you look at Congressional District 25 up in northern LA County and Ventura County, Mike Garcia wins that special election, and it was just fabulous. Same thing going on with Westminster. The Democrats tried to recall our three-person Republican majority on that council. They lost terribly, and we used the same techniques. So, we're adapting to the times, and we're having success. So I'm really optimistic about November.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to be insensitive to try to go to politics right away from the pandemic and, of course, the civil unrest, but you've got to be thinking in terms of what does this do to the election cycle, to people's thinking, to the potential for mail-in ballots. I know there's concerns about there. How do you start to analyze, or is it too early to analyze what impact these two recent events will have?
Well, certainly the governor, as a result of COVID, and I think he's going to just keep it there because of the unrest, mandated that the state go to all mail-in ballot. Now, the state Republican Party has challenged that with a lawsuit, and we'll have to see how that goes. For us in Orange County, it's not really that big an effect because we were one of the 12 pilot counties. So in the primary, we were already an all mail-in ballot. Every voter got a ballot, a live ballot, whether they wanted one or not. Now, you could turn it in at a vote center, but you had the ability to mail it in. So that being the case, we've already adapted to that model. And knowing that we're not going to be doing precinct operations, we're going to be doing voter operations. Who's our voter? Have they turned their ballot back in yet? So we may be a little bit ahead of the curve compared to the rest of the state. And if you look at the special election in Congressional 25, or you look at the Westminster recall, they were all mail-in elections. I think in Congressional 25, there was maybe one vote center open, and we did fairly well. We won both of those elections. So we're confident we can compete.
I think last time around before, the fear was the area got hit pretty hard with ballot harvesting, and some people suggested that the ballot harvesting really turned the corner for Democrats, and that unless Republicans are willing to do the same thing, and Republicans may not want to talk to a stranger, and maybe in the COVID environment, they don't want to answer the door anymore, it may be difficult. I don't know. Anything to sort out there when it comes to potential ballot harvesting?
Yeah, so ballot harvesting is such an interesting technique. It's staff intensive, and staff intensive means that it's money intensive. So in the 2018 cycle, the Democrats outspent us 4.5 to 1 on the just partisan money, and really 5 to 1 or almost 6 to 1 by the time you took a look at all the independent expenditures. And that paid for a lot of staff. The congressional campaigns were each spending about $120,000 a week just on staff. And why is that important? Because it's a staff member that goes into a union hall. It's a staff member that goes into a senior center. It's a staff member that goes into an apartment complex and says, hey, remember me? I was here when I got you to register to vote. Hey, now it's time to vote. Hey, I can help you with your ballot. Oh, do you want me to take it in for you? So it's very personal and very staff intensive. Two things that are going to be different in this election. One, the money's not coming to Orange County that came to help the Democrats take over the House. All that money from the billionaires is going to the Midwest to fight the president. And then the second thing is, between COVID and now the civil unrest, people just, I don't care whether you're center, right, or left, people just aren't going to be opening their doors for somebody knocking on their neighborhood about politics. And so I believe you're going to see a lot less staffing effort, one, because of money, and two, because it's not going to be effective going to people's doors. So as you saw in the Garcia special election in Congressional 25 or in the Westminster recall, or even in the primary, they had all the mail-in ballots, but they didn't have the staff running around going people door to door, especially in the Westminster recall and the congressional special. They couldn't. They weren't allowed to go door to door. And so we think by the fall, people aren't going to be, even if we can go to door to door, people aren't going to be all that receptive to opening the door to somebody. So we think that ballot harvesting is going to be less of an issue. We've also are participating in the lawsuit to try and stop ballot harvesting. And we also have our own efforts at trying to do group, what I would call not ballot harvesting, but group ballot collection by having educational programs through churches and service clubs, and then drop boxes where people can feel comfortable dropping their ballot.
Now, I want to talk a little strategy. Share what you can, but don't give it away if it's going to hurt our election. And that is the debate over whether to stand with Trump or consider him toxic, because there's kind of this debate every time of whether or not the president who got the most votes from Republicans in this state of any state is someone, a brand you have to stay away from to get elected or endorse. Have we learned anything the last time around on this?
Well, I think it changes all the time. And what's most important is, what do the voters think? You know, what are the issues that the voters care about? So I believe that if you take a look at the polling that we've been able to do, and obviously it's changing all the time, people are very unhappy with Governor Newsom. People are really upset about where the state is going economically. The prolonged arbitrary lockdowns didn't help him at all. We're going to be able to hang all of these things on the Democrats. And so that's going to be our focus, because we want to talk about what the voter wants to talk about and what's our solution that's different than theirs. Now, you know, I think a Republican is foolish to run away from the president. The president is a Republican. He is the nominee of the party. He is the leader of the party. He's done a tremendous number of really good things. When there are things that, you know, you may disagree with respect to how he says something, he's more than capable of defending himself. He's shown that, right? So the party doesn't have to worry about, oh, do we need to defend the president on this or defend the president on that? He'll defend himself. We champion the things that have gone well and the things that work well. We don't run from the president, but we focus on the issues that matter to Republican and no party preference, and even conservative Democrat voters here in Orange County.
Yeah.
I think that's how you do it.
Your focus is going to be on Orange County, getting them elected. Statewide, last time I was told, the state got wise to the fact that the president wasn't going to take California, and therefore they put them on the phone banks around the country to shore up other areas. Is that probably still a good strategy for the state to do while you're working on the local area?
Well, absolutely. And the president's campaign has told us that, too. They are not going to be doing a rally here. They're not going to be doing any significant campaign spending in California, just like last time they didn't. Right. So our volunteers who want to work for the president's campaign, we will have all the ability to use apps so that they can call into the swing states, which is how we contributed to the election last time.
All right. Final minute or so. Take us through some candidates, some names that people need to get familiar with, because there are several races that are coming up in which between now and November, brand and name identity needs to be there, right?
Yeah, our primary focus is taking back the four House seats. The NRCC, that's the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, has targeted Congressional 48. That's Michelle Steele, our great supervisor from the 2nd District, to beat Harley Ruta. She's outraising Harley. She's polling even with Harley. All Republican votes in the primary outpolled Harley. So Congressional 48. Congressional 39, former Assemblywoman Young Kim, outraising Gil Cisneros, outpolling Gil Cisneros. She's a top national target, so we're really excited about that. Going to the South candidate, Congressional 49, Brian Marriott is our nominee, the mayor of San Juan Capistrano. He's funding himself. He's also raising money. He'll be a strong candidate. In Congressional 45 against Katie Porter, we have a retired Marine Corps Colonel Greg Rass, former mayor of Mission Viejo, great name ID, and so he'll be a strong candidate. The other thing that we are doing is in all of these seats, there's overlaps between these congressional seats, which get all the, media attention and maybe some of the big donors, with the other seats that we need to win. So State Senator John Morlock, Senate District 37, an incredible advocate for the taxpayer, the only CPA in the legislature, the only one who's calling out the pension problems, the only one who's really talking about the deficit. He needs to win re-election. His seat overlaps Congressional 48 and Congressional 45. His seat overlaps Assembly District 74, Diane Dixon, former mayor of Newport Beach, running to unseat Cadi Petri-Norris. His seat overlaps Assembly 68, Stephen Choi, who did great in the primary. We are using our campaign headquarters for Rath, Morlock, and Choi on the eastern side of the county. And we've now got a new campaign headquarters in Newport Beach that is helped funded with state and federal money for Michelle Steele, John Morlock, and Diane Dixon on the coastal side of the county. So we're using that leverage of multiple campaigns, multiple party operations to help everybody win.
Fred Whitaker, out of time. Thank you much. What's the website if people want to track along what's going on in Orange County?
Yeah, www.ocgop.org.
Fred Whitaker, thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. Happy to be here.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.